listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to you, Ham.
Ahoy, Andy.
Ahoy to you, Jack.
Ahoy.
And ahoy to everybody that is out there listening, ahoy, whether it be in a car or on a hike or anywhere in between.
Of course, yes. The car park, I suppose. Yeah. Base camp. Yeah. Chance how big your hike is. I don't know if an Everest expedition is included as a hike. Good power move, though, while we're on the topic.
Yep.
What did you do over summer? I just went on a hike. Then later find out from a friend that person climbed Everest and they were calling it a hike.
You just played it down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not really a power move. Oh, it is. It's a slow burn. You have to word up your friend, though, to tell.
Oh, mate, if you climbed Everest, you've got patience. You're not the kind of person that plans things.
Yes.
So you can easily pull off the power move. I dare say it's easier than the hike.
Also, ahoy to Soph, who with ease uploaded on the website.
I feel for you, Soph.
What she's up to today.
A lot of buttons.
Hi, boys. It's Sophie here from Surrey in England. My day here is just starting at work, and it's really boring, and I hate it. And I handed in my notice 2 weeks ago, so I've got another 2 weeks left, and then I'm free. So, okay, have a good day.
Sounds like you're going to run it 100% to the end there, though. So, yeah. 4 weeks' notice. Is that a new thing? That must be an English thing. Do you have to give 2 weeks here?
No, if not.
Or do you only get 2 weeks in Australia?
No, it can be either.
Jack, you've been sacked a few times. What's the...
I've never been sacked.
Should have from Hoyts. Should have.
And we
all know under what rule, don't we?
2 weeks, I think you get for...
Well, you don't get 2 weeks in jail for theft, mate. You get a lot more than that.
Stealing a little bit of popcorn, snacking on some popcorn ain't no...
Popcorn, code word for cash.
As they... criminals often have fun code names for things.
Yeah. And did you bring the popcorn?
Yes, yeah, I got a whole bag full that I stole. pay the ransom in popcorn.
Yes.
Wink, wink.
It's like a kids show where they don't give out money, they give out popcorn. All right, Haim, you said you got something to kick things off today.
I'm doing it. Let's quickly pivot away. Changing gears up. Jack, the statute of limitations, I'm sure, is well past on money theft.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it hasn't. Maybe there is no statute. In fact, I think there isn't.
There isn't. You can still get done. We will bail you out with popcorn.
No, it's just some good old fashioned thieving.
No, if Hoyt's listening, it's all a joke.
All a joke.
It was just popcorn. Popcorn.
Money. No, not much. Not nothing, but not much.
Jack is hating me. All right.
Okay. For a man who loves free things, he's just thinking, I don't have time or money for a criminal defence.
Court case.
Even though they would have a case.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, caught red-handed.
Interesting. I think the records would still be around if they cared to run the ruler over Jack's shifts.
Yes.
To see if things balanced up.
Yeah, okay, balanced. I thought you meant CCTV. I'd love to see the little Jackie Poo.
Oh, why are your fingers so sticky? Maybe from Choc Tops, but you just started. Ah, the Choc Tops have plastic around them. Well, I guess they're just sticky from ambition. Ando.
Yeah.
And let's go. Can I bring up briefly something I was... I could go either way on this for the show. To bring up another one of Jack's business ventures.
Okay.
Not that you could call theft a business. On The Sopranos, they kind of do. Another one of Jack's business ventures, Hollow Chickens.
Hollow Chickens,
the
yes.
fictional chicken shop that reigned supreme at the end of last year in our chicken battle between a Hollow Chickens and a whole lot more chickens.
Yep.
Jack, Hollow Chickens was deemed the winner.
Yes, and congratulations to everyone who got a limited edition shirt.
Yes.
Whether they bought them legally from Jack or the guy that set up the weird online merch shop.
Possibly the old CEO of Hoyts trying to make some money back. Which and you'd hope it was he or she that did that because then it would be called sort of one all in a court of law. The judge would throw it out under the rules of one all. Eye for an eye. So fingers crossed that it was an ex-Hoyts bigwig. Doesn't matter. The thing you won most by winning that contest was the right to say that you had the superior chicken shop.
Yes.
And you do still have that right.
Yep. I need a win soon.
Yeah.
I don't have the superior P.
Nope.
And I don't I don't.
You've got a destroyed AH. Asshole.
I do have a troublesome bottom.
Yeah, oh, sorry. I was going for more of the destroyed AH.
I have a troublesome B,
yeah.
An inferior P.
Yeah.
And
what do you have?
And an inferior CS, chicken chop.
Yeah, yep, that's true. Well, I don't have that opportunity for you today.
That's okay.
But what I have is an idea maybe for this show,
mm-hmm.
a cause for us to get behind. We don't really have a cause,
no.
Do we? We don't. A lot of shows are, you know, oh, we're all running a marathon, you know, yeah. on Friday or something. Yep. But that's other radio shows, I suppose. Yep. But even podcasts you hear will occasionally do something like...
But we're wearing a funny hat during the marathon.
Oh, that'll make it a bit harder, is, I suppose, the response they're hoping for.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that. That often generates a bit of buzz. I would like us to consider handing out an award from this show.
Oh, yes.
The Whole Lot of Chickens Award, Chicken Shop Award for Excellence. And we focus on one-off chicken shops. So
great.
Tender Rooster, you're out. Red Rooster.
No, Tender Rooster.
Tender Rooster was a one-off, sorry. Tender Rooster, you're in.
And they would have won, but they're
out.
Down.
Sorry, Tender Rooster, you're out of business.
You are out of business.
But
Slick Chick, which is the one in my dad's hometown in Alexandria.
Smoky Chickens, which is near us, not too far from our house. I was put onto Smoky Chickens recently, and you're often put on to the chicken shop, the one-off chicken shop, so it's not a chain.
Yep.
By people recommending the chips or the salt or the gravy. Yeah. There's something unique that that shop does, which to loyalists from that shop think it raises that one-off chicken shop above all others.
Tender Rooster had the best chips I've ever tasted in my life.
Right.
And I'm sure our listener would have tasted them. So if you remember them, email in.
Okay, well, I suppose why don't we do two awards?
They're out of business.
I know, but we could do the Whole Lot of Chickens award for excellence. We give it to one-off chicken shop.
Yep.
Maybe we even take the show there for a little excursion.
Yep.
We try their chips.
That's a good idea.
We give them... Are we doing a chip chicken. Award or are we doing a chicken or a combo? Or
I reckon the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yep.
So we give the Whole Lot of Chickens award for excellence to a one-off chicken shop. And maybe we do the Whole Lot More Chickens in memoriam or...
Yeah, for trying.
Hall of Fame award to a closed down franchise.
That's a great
of which Tender Rooster would now be winning. And if, and this is more of a task for Sarah, our incredible producer, we need you to find the old owner of Tender Rooster to get him on the show to present. And how long ago did they close down?
Hamish has heard this story before, but I knew things were going bad for Tender Rooster. Back before it was digital, a lot of the old chicken shops used to have a microphone.
Yeah, we need this person that's in this story. I think we're going
to... It was Red Rooster used to do it as well, where they'd go, you know, one chicken and chips, and then people at the back would hear it and make it. This lady was at Tender Rooster one day, and I was like, oh, I'll just have chicken and chips and a fried pineapple, which was part of the deal, and a Hawaiian pack.
Pineapple circle,
yeah.
I said, because if they're doing a whole pineapple, that's why they closed down the overheads.
And my brother wanted a chico roll. And so she's like, one chicken chips, one chico roll, and one Hawaiian pack. And then she walked out the back and made it herself. That's what I was like, oh,
but
no.
That's,
yeah, she was still giving up the illusion.
Yeah. Mate, if you're a struggling salesman, you double down. You hire a Ferrari. You tell people things are going well.
So that'd be great.
At the moment, Tender Rooster would be leading that category. But do we get it on the website? The one-off chicken shop awards.
Love it.
The Whole Lot of Chickens award for chicken shop excellence.
Yes. For maintaining current
operating chicken shop excellence. The Whole Lot More Chickens excellence award for... those that have gone before us.
Yes.
Standing on the shoulders of giants.
Yep.
Those
for past excellence.
For past excellence.
In the field of chickens.
Great. Ando.
Yep.
Allow me to put this guitar on.
Oh, yeah.
Power move. Great. I didn't have a guitar on. I use theatre of the mind, which is a radio technique for... creating illusions that aren't really there using sonic triggers.
Haim.
Yes, power moves, Ando. More cracking entrance.
Yep.
Philippa Grant, ahoy, thank you. She starts off, in fact, by saying, ahoy, Chumba 1 and 2.
Oh.
So a very long-term listener of the show. Back in the day, we invented Chums Group to take down Facebook. It did.
Yes.
We won. We retired.
Yep.
It also got hacked.
Very, very strongly.
Very strongly hacked. Not, in fact, hacked to pieces of just powder left at the end of it, almost completely wiped off the face of the earth through hacking. But in the back in the day,
you if you're a friend, if you're a chum, you were chums with everybody. There was none of this. I got more friends than you.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone was equal.
Everyone was equal.
The number of people in the network. If the number was N, N minus 1 was the number of friends you had, you couldn't be friends with yourself.
Exactly.
That was the only rule.
And you had a chum number, a chumba.
A chumba.
And
Jack, what chumba were you? Were you chumba 3?
I was chumba 3. Yeah. And look, I'm just going to chumsgroup.com now, and I don't remember my password, but it looks like you can still log in.
Yeah, I think it's still
there. What's a group
there?
For chums? Had a lot in common with the notary.
Yeah, and instead of updating your profile, what you're up to, there was
a simpler system.
A simpler system, which was a lot of different coloured flags. The flags
corresponded to your mood.
Or things you were doing.
That would fly up the front of your chum shack.
Yeah.
And I think it's how we introduced chumbucks.
Yeah.
That the system began to get overrun with fraud.
Yep.
Because before
it was
then,
like Bitcoin,
it was like a utopian society. And then we introduced commerce into it.
Yep.
It was Bitcoin before its time.
Yep.
And unfortunately, Chumbucks spelt the end for Chum Group, Chums Group. But it doesn't matter. As I said, we did beat Facebook. We'd take the win. We'd move on. big, great power move here. I love it when they're classic and simple.
Yep.
If you ever need to drive someone else's car, be sure to move the driver's seat back to its full position, as far as it will go back when you return it. That way, when they get back in the car, they'll feel small and insignificant as they have to push their seat back a long way towards the steering wheel, granting you superiority.
I like that.
Hunter Gore here, Ham, from England, I think. He says, when you're finishing up a game of footy at the park, so probably soccer for us, says, if it's not your football, as you're leaving, gesture to the guy to kick you the ball one last time. As soon as his foot is about to make contact with the ball, wave goodbye and then turn around and walk off.
Excellent. Yeah, for kick to kick, it's excellent. For a two-person game. So,
even three. I mean, they're still going to have to get the ball.
If it's the owner of the ball that's kicking it, that's the best. That's what you want. That's what you want. Great one here. We love a specific power move from Hayden. Power move for workplaces with a pigeonhole system. There's one upstairs.
Yep.
You see it here at the where we're in the podcasting section of the building, but the old radio station bit. There's pigeonholes.
Yes.
So the way the pigeon, it's for male, isn't it? So you get all your mail there.
I thought you meant for gender. So I was like, no, it's males and females can use the pigeonholes,
I think there's just a boys one. No, it's for male that's come to reception.
Yes.
And then you first choose someone that you work near, as in like back in the cubicle world, and would like to assert dominance over.
Great.
Now, next time you have some items in your pigeonhole, simply pick them up and place them under the target's items in their pigeonhole. Then go back to your desk empty-handed. When they go to the pigeonhole, they'll unknowingly take your items back to their space with their own. Then when they notice the mistake, they'll usually hand you your items in person, at which point you can say, ah, thanks, I've been expecting these. The old involuntary mailman trick.
This one is a screenshot from social media, so it might have done the rounds.
Yeah,
but I just liked it.
Yeah.
So I thought let's bring it up to this forum because maybe people haven't seen it. Maybe they're not on social pops. But on WhatsApp, you can name the message group.
Oh, you can.
So you create a lot of different people that you chat to, and you know it might be like golf pals, and you talk about golf, whatever.
Yeah, great.
Lady called Lynette put Lynette's surprise party. Had everybody ever there and then left the group.
Love it. Love it. Ando, you know what I said before about we love a specific one? Sometimes they can be too specific.
Okay.
Can I finish with an entry here, guys, into the record of one I think...
Won't make the book?
Well, it might not make the book.
Okay.
It could not make the coffee table book here because I think it's too specific. It relies on a situation happening at the right time that might just be beyond the realms of possibility. Ahoy, boys. Very long time, first time. Love your work. This one requires a bit of timing and good fortune, but if it works, it can really come through with the goods. If you come across a decent-looking flash mob orchestra that has just started, that has just started assembling in a busy public place, walk over casually and start flailing your arms as if you're conducting them.
Okay.
The growing audience will think that the musicians are following your every movement and that without you the music would be garbage. Granted, that would work.
Yes.
He says, but at the end of doing the song, turn around, bow to the crowd and return to whatever you're doing. That would work. I've never seen a flash mob orchestra, so, but that would work. He goes, then he even includes a caveat going, the hope is that they haven't bought their own conductor. If they have, turn your arms into an expressive dance. Turn your flailing into an expressive dance. Mm-hmm. The crowd will think the orchestra is playing just for you. I think at this stage you call it and you go, mate, it's not going to happen.
And it's not the book.
It's just not going to happen. I think you don't need to include a what to do if the self-assembling flash mob orchestra starts and they bring their own conductor. Guys, recently bought a beanie.
Oh, yeah.
There's more to the story.
Pom-pom or not?
That is it. That's it.
Pom-pom on the top or not?
Yeah, pom-pom.
Oh, right.
I love pom-pom beanies. Mm. I would say I'd probably own 5 beanies, and I'd say only one would be pom-pomless.
Right. 80% pom-pom.
Yeah, 80% pom. If you're not pom-pomming, you just
I would
sort
be
of
reversed.
Got a woolen
I'm
hat.
I'm 20% pom, 80% woolen hat.
I think that sums up our personalities, though.
Yep.
I'm 80% party, 20% business, and you're the other way around. No, pom-pom beanie. And regardless, I mean, this shop had I actually probably had more of the Andy-style beanie, pom-pomless.
Yes.
But I was hunting for pom-poms. Anyway, got it. And on the tag, it was from like an outdoors wear store. On the tag, and all the beanies had this on them, and they're all from the same brand, had lifetime guarantee, right, on the beanie. So I was like, God, the beanie, I thought, gee, that's pretty good for a beanie.
Lifetime guarantee.
So at the desk, I said to the girl, I'm fascinated by this lifetime guarantee of the beanie. She goes, yeah, it's a new thing. I said, right. I said, so are you telling me in 50 years I can come back in here and go, you know what? Feel like my beanie's lost some of its snuggliness and I could get a replacement beanie or would it be repaired?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, 50 years. I said, well, I'll still be alive.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it'd be my late 80s.
So is it your lifetime?
So then she goes.
Or is it the.
Well, then she goes, oh, it's more the lifetime of the product. And I said, but that's not a guarantee.
No.
Because that's sort of saying we guarantee this will work till it stops working.
Yeah.
And then its life is over and it's not guaranteed
So it
anymore.
Can't be that. Yeah, it has to be.
So she goes, so I said, that. I said, I know it's a new thing and all these tags have been printed and someone's put some work into this, but it can't be the lifetime of the product because just the instant the product fails, that's when you need the guarantee the most.
Well, or we'd have to have that thing where you go, oh, how long do dogs live again? How long do cats live? You have it.
Well, what's the life of a beanie?
And exactly. We'd have to have a known life of a beanie that's kind of, that everyone kind of understands.
Yes.
But I don't.
No one knows the life of a beanie. They're trying to say this beanie will be good for the rest of your life. And she goes, why?
For me, a beanie is almost lifetime guarantee.
Yeah.
Because I lose them all the time. And they pop up in a cupboard and we very rarely need to use them where
and
we live.
So then I go, it has to be the life of the person. And I go, you would have to honour the 50 years. She might have, she was clever. I could see in her eyes she wasn't just going to let this go. She was like, well, no, I think 50 years would be excessive. So she's digging in. And I go, so that raises the question, would you only sell to old people? Would you be prepared to give an 80-year-old in here his life?
How old was the lady you chatted to?
20s.
I love the fact that she cares.
Yeah, she's digging in.
That surprises me so much.
Do you know what it smelled of? They had been given a talk by the company.
Yeah.
I think they'd.
But again,
I think their head office had gone, this is a new thing we're doing, get behind it, because she was really arguing hard for it. And
good,
she didn't like what I was
saying.
Good
for caring, because she won't be working there in 50 years when you're coming back with your beanie.
And I was like, just say yes.
Yeah.
Just go, yeah, you know what, mate? See you in 50 years. And I tell you what, if you bring it in 50, we'll give you a bottle of Grange. And that's a guarantee. Just say that.
Hey, we've been having some fun with, playing with cross lines and people hearing things that they shouldn't have and whether they own up to hearing those things.
There's one area we thought...
We'll take that
This would be the ultimate test. As you know, many of you guys would know, we started in commercial radio. Mm. We were groomed by it. We knew all its tricks. We saw all its tricks firsthand. One of the greatest tricks in commercial radio, right up there with Secret Sound, is Beat the Bomb.
One of the best games going around.
The ultimate game of waiting or yelling stop and getting rewarded by cash, depending on when you do it. There's a ticking noise. There's amounts of money that creep up. If you yell stop in time, you win the last amount of money. Or if the sound effect of a bomb exploding goes off, you win nothing and you rue the day, knowing statistically you'll never get the chance again to play.
So we've got Keegs in here again, who's helped us out a bunch of times. Thanks for coming in, Keegs.
No worries, guys.
You do work on the Hit Network, a commercial radio station.
Real life radio person by day, but when we drag you down to the podcast level, you become the fake version of a radio person for
us. Getting to the point where people don't take me seriously now if they're actually winning real prizes.
What we wanted to test today is we've set up a girl called Chloe. We actually got the radio station to do this, to say that she's going to play Beat the Bomb. Keegs, your role is to get her up, tell her she's playing, and then to say, actually, I just need to ask something of the producer before we go into it.
Okay.
You'll then pretend to put her on hold.
Yeah.
You'll say, I'll put you on hold. Put her on hold, but she won't be on hold.
She will not be.
You'll ask what the amount is that she should be playing for today. I'll say as a producer, oh, it's 12 grand.
Yeah.
So then Chloe will know that she can hold out during this game for $12,000.
She'll feel like she's just been accidentally given the greatest secret in radio, which is the bomb amount.
Yeah.
Then you'll take her off hold. Just ask her, are there any questions before we go into it? Let's see.
That's her chance.
If she owns up. Okay, good luck.
All right, thanks, guys. Okay.
Man, it's the ultimate slugworthing, isn't it?
It is.
It's a slugworth.
It's a slugworth.
Hello, Chloe speaking.
Hi, Chloe. It's Keegs here from Fox FM. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Now, I understand you're one of our VIPs, and you might have been told there's a chance you're going to get to play a little bit of a game with us.
Correct.
Are you ready to try and win some cash right now?
I am.
Are you familiar with the idea of Beat the Bomb?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're playing that right now. So we're not live on air just yet. We'll go through in just a moment. Basically, Beat the Bomb, how it works, there'll be varying amounts of cash. They'll get larger and larger. You can yell out stop whenever you want. Obviously, you don't know when the bomb's going to go off, the total amount that you're able to win. That's a secret. You don't know that, and you can call out stop whenever you want, and that's the amount of money you'll win, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, so you ready to play?
I am.
Okay, cool. I'll just I'll pop you on hold there, Chloe, and we will come back to you in just a few minutes. I'm just going to have a word with my producer and we'll come back to you soon, okay?
Sure, thank you.
Okay, here we go. Thanks. What's the amount of money? How much can it go up to?
$12,000.
Goes off after $12,000. Okay, all right. So it'll go off after $12,000. Okay. Chloe, have I got you there still?
You do.
Fantastic. All right, let's go.
Beat the bomb.
Oh, it's an oldie but a goodie in terms of radio competitions. Everyone knows how this one works. It is Beat the Bomb. We have got Chloe on the phone. How you going, Chloe?
I'm good, thank you.
You don't know where the bomb's going to go off, but you can win some serious cash right now. You call out stop when you want to stop the clock. Do you have any questions first?
No, I'm good to go.
Okay, no questions at all?
No.
How far do you reckon it's going to go today? You feeling good? Are you feeling like this is going to be a big one or?
Oh, I don't know, and I'm not a greedy person, so I have no idea.
I'll be so happy
with anything.
Could be anything. All right, okay, well, here we go. We're going to start the timer. You ready to play?
Yes.
Here we go. No questions before we start?
No.
No, okay, cool. Here we go.
$45.
$45.
$120. $530.
Ooh.
$860.
$2,000. Stop!
Stop!
Stop! Okay!
$2,000. Oh my god, that's awesome!
Hang on, stop for a second.
Sorry.
Chloe.
Chloe, it's Hamish and Andy here. Chloe.
Hi.
Sorry.
We're just doing a little test on you.
Sorry. First of all, Chloe, I feel terrible saying this. There is no Beat the Bomb at the moment on the Fox. I'm so sorry. We've got to get out that, and that's going to sting.
That's going to sting
hard.
And
we're going to let that settle in. Although,
but
it's not going to sting as bad as it could have because We were playing, we were doing a test to see if someone would cheat if they heard Keegs ask how, did you hear Keegs go, it's going to go to $12,000?
I did, and I thought it could be a test.
Oh! Oh my gosh.
Well done. Well done, Chloe.
I was like, there's no way someone would be silly enough to leave their mic on.
That's unbelievable. Chloe.
Well, it's the Hamish Daddy podcast here, and we were just testing whether someone would let it run all the way to 12 grand.
I mean, but so honest.
Well done. I mean,
we never thought that would happen. None of our friends would do that.
No way. So I'm sad to say, yeah, there's no money, but boy, have you triumphed as one of the good people
we're
in society,
make,
Chloe.
Chloe, we're going to make a certificate.
You can't put a money on that, can you?
I don't think you can. I'd actually price it around 15, so you've actually made a lot of money.
We're going to make you grand, a good citizen certificate. We very rarely make certificates for people on our show, but you've definitely won one.
I would definitely be expecting a certificate. Not getting $2,000.
Yeah, fair enough.
You
fair
are
enough.
Getting a certificate. Mike, can you bring up a certificate template, please?
Chloe, thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Keegs, I know that would have hurt you too, because this is where we make you pretend you're on radio, and then it's always like taking back the prizes on people. Yeah.
It's more fun though. It's fun getting to do it and take it away. It's good.
Thanks for going to the dark side again, Keegs. Chloe, you're a legend.
See you later. See you, Chloe.
Thanks,
bye.
Guys.
See you, Chloe.
Bye. Bye.
Haim, gee, we love everyone that listens to the podcast community because they make it. And Soph has brought something to my attention that I need to bring up today as part of this.
This sounds like this, sounds like this, sounds like this. If this sounds like that, I'm your man.
Andy Lee, Song Sleuth.
Sleuther man.
Yes.
Release the sleuth.
When there is a song out there that we feel may have borrowed, or perhaps, look, to be honest, they probably haven't borrowed, that it just happens due to happenstance.
Yep, bit of happenstance, bit of overlapping. Because there's, look, how many notes are there? There's only 100 notes in the world.
Yep.
And the combos, you're going to run out of combos.
Pains me to do this one today as well.
Oh, my favourite.
It's bringing down Australia's greatest ever band. It's bringing them into question.
Cheapers. Sherbet.
Yeah. No, the Wiggles.
Wiggos.
The Wiggles.
Now, they play a lot of covers.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Is this an orig?
It's an original from them.
Give me the title.
Toot Toot.
I know it. Toot Toot. Chugga Chugga. Big Red Car.
Big Red Car. I don't know the title. I just know the lyrics. Big Red Car.
This is we're talking original Wiggles too.
And it's probably their biggest song, isn't it?
Hot Potato will be up there as their biggest.
Yeah.
These days, a lot of the biggest ones are Emma Led. She's the girl with the bow in her hair.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I don't know if that overlaps anything else.
No.
Gotcha. But this is original Wiggles. This is Anthony, Greg, Murray, Simon. Who was the other
Jeff.
One? Jeff, yeah.
Wake up, Jeff.
Sorry, I only know the Purple Wiggles Lockie now, mate.
Haim, everyone knows that song.
Yeah.
Have a listen.
Chugga, big red car.
Yeah.
We'll travel near and we'll travel far. Chugga, big red car. We're gonna ride the whole day long.
Does it feel like this favourite?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same beat.
It's exactly the same key.
I mean,
look at him defending him. He doesn't want his Wiggles board.
Well, I mean, this is, am I wrong? Am I missing something here, Jack? This feels like one of the not closest ones we've had.
I know what Andy's saying. It's the same chord progression. And
same chord progression.
And then that sort of like the dun, dun is sort of similar.
Yeah, that sort of hard beat. But is it the same song? I mean, you can throw it over to the people. I don't feel like I can convict on that. If there'd been a trumpet coming in over the back, like in Toot Toot Chugga Chugga. Just, don't get me wrong, Andy. I must prosecute without fear nor favour.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. That's why I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But had to run it through the system.
You got to.
And put them both together, see how they felt merging one to the other.
Oh, I mean, you can pick the seams. I feel no like the glove does not fit.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I'm not just saying this to protect past and former and future wiggles and current wiggles.
Yep.
I would put him in Wiggly Jail if I if that's the way I saw it. I'd put him in a toot-toot chugga-jugga jail bus and send them straight to someone's in the Wiggle House. You know, I'd put him in...
Yeah, they don't have a Wiggle Jail yet, do they?
They have a house and you... House it has arrest. One door, so you'd only, you wouldn't be hard to turn it into a jail.
Don't disagree. Thanks, Sophie, for bringing it in. But I'm going to put him on a caution for...
Okay. Good behaviour, Bond.
For the exact same key.
I will say this in criticism of the Wiggles. Yeah. God, they play some bad songs. Like, I think they do their originals, which work, and then they'll pad them out.
Mm.
I watch a lot of Wiggles. Yeah. They're padded out with covers, like classic covers. Like, but I mean... And I guess kids don't care, which is the point. But I mean stuff from like, you know, they're almost hymns, like from the 1800s. Oh, right. So like, you know.
So songs that are out of copyright there.
Who'll be the butcher's wife, the butcher's
wife? Oh, right.
No, I mean, that's not one. But they're shockers. And they play them well and Emma dances well. And so they, you know, they hit it. But yeah, you're right. That's probably what they do. They're out of copyright. They're like old English tales of like, you know, bring me a cockerel before dawn. Like, and I guess they're like traditional English songs or something.
Yeah.
They're out of a book somewhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, guys, filler. It is an absolute license to print money.
Album track.
Absolute filler, because they know they got a 3-year-old sitting at home just nodding along. They don't know that this is a recycled hit from 1911 that was played at the launch of the Titanic and hasn't been heard of since. And that is what they're guilty of. And before we go, I've got another classic airfare decision for us to make.
Oh, I like
for
these.
A special skill.
Yeah, great.
As people will be aware, we record the podcast in Melbourne, but Australia is a much bigger city than Melbourne.
Mm.
Australia is, in fact, a country. Now, I don't want to bore everyone with
the geography of it all, but...
with this high-level geography chat, but these are the facts as we know them. We've never... Oh, no, we have. Have we ever flown from New Zealand?
No, I don't think so.
That's still wide open for a New Zealand skill.
Not in this form. In the past, we have flown from New Zealand.
Yes, we've flown ourselves to New Zealand to play in the Waikato area to the Young Farmers Association for Cool Boys on the Front Man.
I do dream of a day... where we're so intrigued by a special skill.
I dream of a ditch from, crossing.
From Ireland.
No, we're all from Ireland. We're international.
We go
could
like,
it be America?
Yeah, that's closer. But
could
I'd
it
like,
be Poland?
I'd like, yeah, that'd be nice.
Why Ireland?
Well, because it's pretty much the other side of the world.
It's the furthest, you think?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'd like one from the Shenzhen province of China.
Again, easier for us to fly. Not as expensive. I'd be happy with that as well.
Yeah, okay. Or the Guangzhou region.
This wasn't going to be a geography.
I did promise earlier that I wouldn't bore everyone with geography. And we have two contenders. Both share a common trait.
Great.
They are able to do something within plus or minus one of the unit of their skill. My question to you is, which plus or minus one are you most impressed by out of these two?
Are you going to tell them, or are they going to tell them?
I'll get Tom up first, Jack. Okay. Can you get Tom up? Tommy, how are you going? Ahoy.
Ahoy, boys. How are we?
Yeah, very ahoy, good. Tom.
Now, Tom, you are in Adelaide. Is that correct?
Correct. Unfortunately, not quite as international as previously discussed.
Would you be willing to say you're from the Guangzhou region of China? Tommy.
Only a stone throw.
Adelaide still counts. It's still airfare. It's still a stump. It's still this show stumping up to come and see a skill in person. Actually, Tom, you tell Andy your skill.
Okay, Andy. So my skill is I can guess someone's exact height to the centimetre or plus or minus one.
From seeing them?
From seeing them, yeah.
He does need to see them. He needs to see them standing up, I imagine.
You just know how you
correct.
Feel.
Correct, standing
you
just, up.
You
standing
know how
up.
I feel exactly about right. psychics and stuff. And
oh,
It was going to be an immediate no.
Yeah, no. And you say here, Tommy, in your application, a 3-second look is all it takes for you.
Yeah, 3-second look is all it takes.
Do you need them to be holding a banana for scale or something? Or?
Well, actually, funny you should say that. I myself am exactly 200 centimetres, so I'm known as the perfect human scale ruler.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect 2-metre ruler.
2-metre ruler. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Tom, so he, would you like him to hold a tennis ball or something that is uniform?
No.
You're not allowed to stand next to them, though.
No. That's just how it all sort of started.
All right, so you know your eyes are about 193 centimetres off the ground, so using that...
Tom, 192, yep.
You would need to be... Tom.
He is Tom.
Yes. I'm talking to him. I'm talking to him.
You would need to stay as Tom.
Tom, you would need to be standing for this or sitting?
Either or.
Okay.
Better standing, and you would need, can do it sitting.
And you would need to be on the same level as the person.
Correct.
Doing it on a hill would be difficult.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Correct. But maybe if we do this... You know, round three is on a hill.
Okay.
round three's on a slope.
And how...
An elevated guess.
How close, Tom, to the subject do you need to be?
3 to 4 metres would be preferable.
Yes, I wouldn't let you any closer
than
that.
Just in a room.
I just wouldn't let you any closer than that because then you're getting close enough to realise...
Yeah, you couldn't stop him, mate. He's 2 metres.
I'm bringing a cattle prod.
Good luck with your pair of 191.
Okay, Tom, brilliant.
193, Tom, but I know what you're going for.
Thank you, Tom. Tom, let's put him on
So
on
that's
hold.
Tom's plus or minus one.
Mm.
It's centimetres. Anya. Anya, ahoy.
Ahoy, Anya.
How are you guys?
Anya, you are from the Irish province of Newcastle. It probably is Newcastle in Ireland.
Yeah, good old Newcastle.
Okay, Nui, that's good to know. But and I tell you what, money wasn't going to, you know, play into this. But if they were close and someone was coming from Broome or something, I would have been
gotcha. Right, similar airfares.
Yeah, similar airfare price.
Anya, what is your plus or minus one skill?
Okay, so I work in hospitality. So when setting tables, instead of counting the chairs and counting all the forks and knives, I just grab a handful and I can usually set it and either have one too many or one not enough.
I prefer onions.
Do you really?
Yeah. That sounds pretty awesome.
Well, how many are you grabbing though in your hand? Because my question is, you know, you can't really hold more than, say, 12 knives.
Yeah, I mean, if I do forks and knives separately, you can grab a good handful.
So if we set a table from 8 to 24 people, you could do it?
I reckon I could, yes.
Could you grab up to 24 knives correctly using a two-handed scoop? Because I think you could get 24 in two hands.
Yep.
I prefer this one.
Plus or minus one.
Yeah. I mean, I like Tom. I like Tom's as well.
Yeah.
But I just, this one, I mean, we've seen people guess shoe sizes. We all know someone can predict the height. I haven't seen this one come out. I mean, is that okay?
I like it. Yeah. I like it, Andrew. And I like it.
Tom. He's a lovely fellow.
Like it more now that we've got that many knives and forks in play. And you'd be happy to up to 24 of each knife or fork.
Yep, deal.
Oh, this is great.
Anya, Andy's made the call. Mm. You're flying down. Mm. All that remains for us, and you're not involved in this at all, Anya, is having to break the news to Tom.
Yep, and I reckon we just wait for him to hear this.
I think we take the coward's way out. He is on hold. He can hear this.
He can't hear this now.
He can't hear this bit.
No, and no, he can't.
Right. Jack's saying no.
No, he can't hear this now, so I think we just let him hear it in the podcast. Hang up on him. Ooh. And let him hear it in the podcast.
What about we could ease the sting with a token of no value. We'll grab Tom back. Tommy.
Ahoy.
Mate, we just spoke to Anya.
Excellent application. Anya's just pipped you for my interest. Oh, I'm sorry.
Know.
Yeah.
Anya can, yeah, she can.
What she can she do? What can she do?
She...
she give it can, to me straight.
She can look at, she works in hospitality, she can look at a giant amount of tables and chairs and estimate how many forks and knives she needs just by scooping them out of a bucket, and she's always within plus or minus one of the chairs.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. You've taken it on
your tall chin very, very well, and for that, you're getting a token of no value coming your way.
Oh, thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Yeah.
Really good, mate. Keep it up. Keep it right up there, 2 metres high.
See you, boys.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.